and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning, this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, what a relief it is for me to come out the other side of a two-week pledge drive. What a blast it was. What a good time I had. We shared food. We shared stories. We all worked together, and it was an effort. And I'm pleased to say that we have raised many tens of thousands of dollars for our community radio station, and we are still here and will continue to be here. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you if you were a contributor the whole time, for pulling for us. I want to thank the volunteers, engineers, producers, everybody who pulled together, because we're community. And it's a very encouraging thing. It's a very encouraging thing to see so many people working together and to know that we all want essentially the same thing. We're going the same direction. We want transparent, informative, participatory society. And we have various ways to get there, but for a couple of weeks, we came together right here, and it was just a blast, and I thank you. I thank you for a good time, and I thank you for affirming once again for me that it's worth being here, that it's right being here, that we're doing the right thing. I love it, and I love y'all. Now, there have been a number of urgent issues that I've brought up in the last several weeks on my program, and I want to talk about some urgent issues today. I want to talk about some issues that I've been putting off because of the flow of current events. One of those is the impact that the fascistization, the demagoguery, is having on the GLBTQ community. This is not to ask anyone to look the other way to against the effect that it is also having on people of color. Of course, these communities intersect. But I want to talk about the way I'm feeling it, the way I feel as a male-to-female transgender person. And I want to ask what you have been observing, what your comments are on the state of on the state of freedom in the United States for people who have a different orientation, a different gender. And the number to call with your comments and questions to let me know how things are in your world is 503-231-8187. I was reading an article about Sophie LaBelle, a very talented Canadian artist and cartoonist. She has created her own strip called Assigned Male and is known for tackling the issues of transphobia, transmisogyny, and homophobia directly. She also happens to be transgender. This is from popcultureuncovered.com. You can find it on the web there, and some of her her cartoons, which are pretty great. But the author writes, however, Ms. LaBelle was recently the victim of a calculated virtual attack, which not only involved all of her comics being deleted from her website, and I'll just pause right there for a moment, and say, in this internet age, that's quite an attack. That's quite an erasure, because that's how you get out there, that's how you make your money, is on the web. And all of her comics were deleted and replaced with neo-Nazi imagery and bigotry. But she also received thousands of death threats and had her personal address published in several forums for the hate to continue. The cartoonist has since gone into hiding, but wrote a post on her Facebook page saying, quote, "I just want people to be aware that this is what you get for being trans on the internet and for reframing transness into something positive and empowering. I'd also like to acknowledge that this attack was mostly planned because of four explicit reasons. First, I am a woman. Second, I am trans. Third, I support non-binary people. And fourth, I support intersex people." And she writes, "I will keep making my comics. No worries. Folks at Facebook are currently making sure this won't happen again before I can put my page back up. Nothing was lost." End quote. In an anonymous quote given to the website GayStar News, a campaigner plainly stated, "This attack was dangerous and orchestrated. It was planned centrally using a range of social media and in large part out in the open. We are still identifying posts online from individuals inciting this action as well as people agreeing to join in. The motive is clear. Many on the alt-right hate trans people with a passion, and they would like nothing better than to drive us out of the public gaze altogether. Many of those participating in the attack are cowards. They are too afraid to identify themselves publicly and are unlikely to follow through on their threats. However, any threat should be taken seriously," end quote. So again, I'm asking you to comment on what you have observed in this Trumpian era in terms of the organization and the empowerment of anti-trans groups, anti-trans persons. What are you observing? And if you're transgender, then I would like to know how you're experiencing it. The number to call, 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch News You're Not Supposed to Know. And I do have some news about imperialism also, and about climate change, and I'll be getting to that. But I am starting off just trying to stand up for my fellow trans and identify this phenomenon, which has increased and worsened since the accession of POTUS 45. Sheriff Dave Clark, a controversial figure currently embroiled in a scandal over questions of inmate safety in the jail he oversees in Milwaukee, is joining the Trump administration as an assistant secretary in the Department of Homeland Security. This is from LGBTQNation.com. Clark announced that he would be accepting the appointment to the federal position on Wednesday. During an interview with radio show WISN-AM, Clark has called transgender people mentally ill and has said they lead a, quote, "freakish lifestyle," and called for pitchforks and torches, also a quote, in response to the Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage. The sheriff cited Walt Hare, this is from a different article, a former transgender author, who has called for the parents of transgender Americans to be jailed. Clark said, "Folks," and this is a quote, "more evidence that transgender persons suffer from mental disorders than from physiological disorders," end quote. He continued, quoting again, "too often in this assault on the First Amendment and this very totalitarian attitude from the left that any freakish lifestyle, any marginal lifestyle is now considered part of the norm, and they're shoving it down our throats. So if you're not careful when you engage in this conversation, they'll look for the trap. And they'll catch you saying something that's clumsy or not well articulated, and then they'll just attack you. They'll attack you with it. Transgender phobic and all this other nonsense," end quote. Clark continued reading Hare's June article in the Daily Signal, which is apparently an alt-right sort of publication, which claimed that transgender individuals were more inclined to have psychiatric diagnoses, that transgender identities corresponded with childhood trauma 100% of the time, and that such individuals need psychotherapy, not access to cross-sex restrooms, end quote. And so this is the man being appointed to the Trump administration. He said that he was, here's a quote, "both honored and humbled to be appointed to this position by Secretary John F. Kelly working for the Trump administration," end quote. Clark shared that he would be working in the Office of Partnership and Engagement as a liaison with state, local, and tribal law enforcement starting sometime next month. So officially, the bigot is in, and bigotry is moving forward. This person hasn't been shy about saying who he is and who he hates. And so now he's in power. And this does have an effect on me, on people who are transgender. And I want to hear your comments and questions on it. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. If you would like to comment on the climate that is now present for transgender individuals, and I'll extend that for gay, lesbian, trans, questioning, intersex, the whole rainbow there. That number, 503-231-8187. Once again, congrats for supporting the pledge drive. Here we are, and here we remain, moving towards our 50th anniversary year, not so long now, and we'll be partying down for that. Now, changing topics a bit, you can still call in with your trans stories if you like. I'd like to talk about imperialism on the rise under the Trump administration. Pardon me. From the Washington Post, China protested a U.S. Navy patrol that sent a guided missile destroyer near a group of man-made islands in the South China Sea on Thursday in the first American challenge to Beijing's claims to the waters since President Donald Trump took office. China's defense ministry told reporters that it had sought an explanation with U.S. officials over the event, which Beijing said involved the USS Dewey and took place around Mischief Reef, ironically named, one of a chain of artificial islands China has built and fortified to assert its claims over the strategic waterway. So departing from that text, that reminds me so much of Ronald Reagan intentionally cruising past the Black Sea Fleet and provoking the Black Sea Fleet in order to raise the tensions with Russia in the early 1980s. The situation was so bad that Russia sent whiskey-class subs to the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, they sent all their subs around the world in preparation for nuclear war. And when I found out that whiskey-class subs that close to where I was at in Texas at the time could launch and destroy the city I was in, Lubbock, within 4 minutes, I realized that all of the material for evacuation that was stored in the station in case of emergency was useless. There was no way I would get launch warning at all before obliteration should that happen, and no way people would have the opportunity to actually leave town. So I realized that these preparations were just there to get people to accept nuclear war and to by way of believing that they could do something about it. They certainly could not have done anything about being incinerated had Reagan's threatening dares gone wrong. I always hated Reagan for that. There was plenty to hate Reagan for. He was a lousy president. He had 110 indicted appointees, and they were convicted. It was a very corrupt phenomenon. He was known for his fox in the hen house appointments, and that's exactly what Trump is doing now, corrupting the entire federal government, taking the organizations that we have set up to at least give face value to looking over corporations, and he is destroying their efficacy by sending out people whose intention it is to thwart their function. So it's Reagan once again, and we've all been brainwashed to believe, and especially young people have seen in textbooks and actually believe that Reagan was a great president. No, he was another demagogue. He also built up his voter base on the basis of hatred and racism. And if anything, I would say Trump is worse, but time will tell, I suppose. So Reagan had stirred up hatred, and Reagan was looking for a fight with a major nuclear power. And here again, I see this happening with Trump as warships are sent past Chinese installations. Now, there's some dispute as to whether China really should have put their military installations on the Spratly Islands, where there could have been some years of disputes, particularly with Japan, over who owned them and had the rights to them in regards to fishing or possibly military installations, I suppose. Of course, it doesn't really matter, but it does matter now because those military installations are being threatened by U.S. military power, and the tension with China has just gone up. A bit ironic, since it is to China that Trump had to turn to deal with North Korea. More on North Korea in a minute. Returning to the Washington Post article, while U.S. officials did not immediately comment on Thursday's operation, Washington has in the past insisted it had the right to conduct so-called freedom of navigation operations in the area because it is in international waters. The Navy conducted similar operations under former President Barack Obama, but had not done so since Trump took office and began taking up the prospect of warming ties with Beijing and cooperating over issues like North Korea. A spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry said the U.S. destroyer had trespassed near islands over which China has indisputable sovereignty. The quote is, "We urge the U.S. to correct this mistake and to stop taking further action so as to avoid hurting peace and security in the region and long-term cooperation between the two countries." That's a Foreign Ministry spokesman Liu Kang. A Defense Ministry spokesman Colonel Ren Goquang told reporters at a monthly news briefing, that a pair of Chinese Navy frigates had warned off the American ship after it entered the area without Chinese permission. So, speaking again for myself, we have a confrontation of ships. This is exactly what was going on in the Black Sea in 1981. Ren was quoted saying, "We urge the American side to take concrete efforts to correct its wrongdoings and add more positive energy to the military-to-military relationship," end quote. The spokesman added that the U.S. actions not only posed the risk of sparking an accident at sea, but it would only motivate the Chinese military to enhance its capacity. China claims virtually the entire South China Sea and has aggressively tried to fortify its foothold in recent years by transforming 7 mostly submerged reefs into island outposts, some with runways and radars, and more recently, weapon systems. The work is opposed by other claimants to the atolls and the United States, which are wary of restrictions on ship movements in the key waterway for world trade, which boasts rich fishing grounds and a potential wealth of undersea oil. Did I say oil? I said oil. Are we talking about oil? Oil, gas, and mineral deposits. An international tribunal last year rejected most of China's claims to the waters and said its land reclamation was aggravating tensions and violating the sovereignty of fellow claimants like the Philippines. So you can read more on that at the Washington Post. Time is 9:16. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is the news you're not supposed to know. Now, I was talking about confronting China and how that is, a tad ironic since we need China to help avoid war with North Korea. Therefore, this article from the BBC, a hacking group closely tied to North Korea, was behind the massive WannaCry attack earlier this month, according to security company Symantec. The way the attack was set up made it highly likely that the Lazarus group was responsible, it said. Lazarus has been blamed for a 2014 attack on Sony and the theft of $81 million from Bangladesh Central Bank. In those attacks, the group is believed to have worked on behalf of North Korea's government. In a blog, Symantec said substantial commonalities in the tools, techniques, and infrastructure used by the attackers led it to conclude that the Lazarus group had instigated the WannaCry ransomware attack. However, Symantec added that the character of the attack suggested that it had not been carried out on behalf of North Korea. Rather than being a nation-state campaign, it said, it looked more like a typical cybercrime campaign that sought to enrich its operators. The report describes the adoption of a combination of pro-growth and North Korea has denied any involvement with the WannaCry, branding any claims it was behind it ridiculous. Number to call with your comments and questions on the Trump administration. On the Trump budget, which seeks to beggar the working people of the United States and to enrich the parasite class, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And now turning to the climate, John Upton writes in Climate Central, a sweeping ocean conveyor system that ushers warm tropical waters into the North Atlantic appears to have partly recovered from a near collapse around the 1970s, but the system remains weaker than it had been since before humans figured out how to write modern music on a page. Powerful Atlantic Ocean currents fuel Gulf streams, affect sea levels, warm cities in continental Europe and North America, and bring nutrients up from ocean depths that helps sustain marine ecosystems and fisheries. But an avalanche of cold water from the melting Greenland ice sheet appears to be slowing down the ocean circulation to levels not experienced in more than 1,000 years. That's the conclusion of a bold new attempt to combine temperature measurements and climate-related data scrounged from coral samples, ice cores, and tree rings to track the worrying decline of the critical Atlantic Ocean phenomenon. The new research, published Monday in Nature Climate Change, used observation and studies of sea surface temperatures to produce a new index, one that charts the waning force of the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. That's abbreviated AMOC. It's one of the planet's most important circulation systems. The index reveals a modern powering down of the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation, including a sharp slowdown between 1970 and 1990, which had already been widely detected, followed by a partial recovery that nonetheless failed to boost the system back to its vigorous pre-industrial revolution state. If the climate relationships identified by the researchers hold true, growing melt rates in Greenland might lead to further weakening of the AMOC within a decade, and that would have catastrophic results. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And returning to the topic of the AMOC problem, the findings of the research were dramatic but consistent with projections from computer climate models. That's according to Stephen Griffey, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Climate and Ocean Modeler. He wasn't involved with the study, but he contributed to recent research linking abrupt AMOC changes. We're talking about that that ocean circulation. He linked that with a historically unprecedented 5-inch spike in sea levels along the northeast U.S. coastlines in 2009 and 10. Other researchers have linked that same AMOC slowdown of 5 years ago with harsh winters in Europe and with a spike in hurricane activity. He is quoted saying, "It's inevitable from my perspective that we will start to see more and more evidence for the slowdown of the circulation. If the overturning circulation slows down further, these extreme sea level events on the East Coast will become more frequent." And speaking for myself, of course, the problem here is that that circulation is essential to the climate in Europe and to eastern North America and the eastern seaboard in Canada. The overturning is just that. It takes that cold water down to the equator and circulates back up, and that moderates the temperature for the U.S. East Coast. The danger is, should that slow down or stop, one of the dangers, aside from the vicious storms that are likely to result from such a sudden change and from the attempt of the Earth to find a new balance, attempt of the atmosphere to find a new balance, is a freezing of the eastern seaboard for most of the year, a freezing of Great Britain for most of the year. Ironically, that's caused due to global warming. That's caused due to the melt, partly the melt, coming off Greenland and messing up that circulation. So it isn't all an immediate, straightforward thing. When you heat up the planet to the degree that it has been heated up, freezing can occur in some places, and it certainly won't be occurring in the equator, where the temperatures can become uninhabitable due to the absence of that cold water moving down from the poles on what is called the AMOC. Also, it's also called the thermohaline circulation, a serious thing that is worth tracking and needs to be tracked so that politically the masses of people, you and I, can actually act on it. This is called the news you're not supposed to know, because you need this information to move forward, to understand that we are currently in the start, the irreversible start of this global climate change disaster. And there are things that we can do about it. Politically, there are huge things we can do about it. One of the first things that comes to mind for me is the 1973 decision by Congress during the Arab oil embargo, an event that is largely forgotten. Arab oil embargo brought about 55 mile per hour national speed limits for the first time. If you're wondering how that got started, 70 mile per hour speed limits across the nation were illegal for many years because Congress decided that it was time to slow down, not to take so much oil. And the reason was, at that time, was political. It was because it was galling to Americans to be controlled to the degree that they were by the dependence on Saudi oil. The Saudis decided they wanted more money and better terms. But that's also true that it's also true that the British and American investors associated with the Saudis wanted to grab more power, and so they created this Arab oil embargo, which had people lined up in 73 at gas stations and cursing each other and stealing gas, and locking gas caps appeared for the first time. And one of the outcomes of that was a decision by Congress that American manufacturers, and I believe it also included importers, but I'm not sure if I remember it correctly, American manufacturers had to have, I think it was 30% of the fleet, it might have been 50%, had to be electric by the distant year 1993. Well, what happened to that? Why did that not happen? More political decisions, political backlash. People like Trump. At the time, we called him Reagan. When Reagan took office, that law was rescinded. And a little noticed article that was appended to a spending bill, and that was that. So we could have had half of our fleet or a third of our car fleet could have been electric all those years ago. Before many of you were born, it could have happened. The technology was certainly there. And if that technology had been developed at that level, you can believe it would be greatly advanced at this time, so long after 1993. It's political actions that make a difference. And political actions cannot take place when you live in a society in which not only is the information scarcely produced at all, but it is shouted down by irrelevant things, by 1,001 distractions, so that you do not feel that you could have the power to move to the point that you could stop this petroleum-based disaster that is ongoing in the planet. First, you need to know that we are in the disaster. Then you need to know what's causing it. And then you need to understand that you can actually take action on this collectively. I hope that it puts you in a bit of a rage. There's a use for a rage. You shouldn't live in rage, but I should think when you realize that your planet is being destroyed by a small group of extremely greedy, arrogant, insensitive people, it puts you in a rage. And a part of that, of course, is also the political decision that we Americans are going to identify as warriors. And what that really means is we're going to identify as imperialists. And we are going to set ourselves up as the cops of the world, and we are going to occupy the planet, and we do, and we use the Pentagon, which is the largest user of fossil fuels on the planet. Just by morally backing off imperialism, by shutting down the Pentagon, and I mean in a peaceful way, let's shut down half of it at once. Let's shut it down by halves and get started today, be fine with me. We could abandon imperialism, and we could begin to cool down this planet. And if there are necessary geoengineering solutions, they could be brought to bear. But we can't do that now because we live under the thrall of the Pentagon and its associated media corporations. One tie that's easy to remember is that I call NBC the Neutron Bomb Corporation, owned by General Electric. It's more complex than that, but yeah, they're for war, sure. And you don't hear a discussion of whether it's moral to attack the people of the world and to force them to agree to or to align with our force of arms. That's just what we do. But it's wrong. It's immoral. It is incumbent upon us to stop now, to stop being imperialists. It's wretchedly evil, frankly. Somewhere, somehow, it needs to be said while you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is where we can say this sort of thing. This is where you can call up and say this sort of thing if you like. We're broadcasting, and you can pick us up on a terrestrial radio where you can't be tracked. I love that. 25,000 watts going out across Cascadia, far, far from the bounds of Portland. You can hear KBOO, and you can hear my voice, and you can hear that imperialism is immoral. Number you can call with your comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187, integrating measures to combat climate change into regular economic policy will have a positive impact on economic growth, both over the medium and the long term, according to a new report. That's from climateactionprogram.org. And the fact is, we are being harmed not just in terms of having our planetary atmosphere destroyed, but we're being cheated out of economic participation. We're being cheated out of the joy that prosperity could bring us, because it has long been time to build a new infrastructure based on solar and wind, and that is being thwarted by groups like the Koch brothers. Returning to that report, investing in climate, investing in growth, was released by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, on Tuesday of this week. The report details that bringing together the growth and climate agendas, rather than treating them as independent issues, could add 1% to the average economic output in G20 countries by 2021, 4 years from now, and it could lift 2050 output up to 2.8%. Furthermore, if the economic benefits of avoiding climate change impacts, such as coastal flooding or storm damage, are accounted for, the net increase to 2050 GDP would be nearly 5%. We're talking about roaring growth, which could happen if we the people could decide on installing solar and wind infrastructure instead of supporting the oil companies and the Pentagon in their agenda of destroying the planet with more and more and more use. And we are, by the way, if you're wondering if fossil fuel use is up, oh yes it is, absolutely, worldwide. And car use is up, and we're burning more oil than ever. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Mike is on the air. Hello, Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. You know, I caught half of what you said when you were talking about imperialism and shutting down half of the Pentagon to get rid of imperialism. I don't think that's feasible, because once you get rid of something, there's going to be another entity come along and fill in the gap. They said the same thing about getting rid of Saddam, getting rid of him. Now you got ISIS. So if you get rid of the Pentagon, all you're going to do is have another power come in and set up, and you're not going to like that. And also, I wanted to...
What would that power be, I wonder?
Pardon?
What would that power be, I wonder?
Well, you know, if it's man, which it will be man, you're not going to have... the type of world that you want anyway, because man basically is a contradictory species. He's basically vain, greedy, and have all these faults that you claim you don't like. So you're going to end up doing...
Is that true of everyone that you know personally? Are all your friends vain, greedy, and basically dangerous people?
Well,
what about your mother?
My mother had faults. You know, if you look at the Bible say we all are sinners. And so we all fall short. And yes, my mother had problems. She had her faults.
So you're saying it's basically hopeless because human beings are always going to create a sort of world-destroying Trumpocracy.
Yeah, I think that without something greater than man himself, I think you're going to always have problems. I mean, look at humans' history.
Seems like God has kind of failed in that regard too, don't you think? I mean, God's had plenty of time, right?
Well, he gave us a choice, man. It's like your sexuality, man. Or that's
my sexuality is a choice.
It's a choice. Nobody is born. No man in the world is born. He's a male, and then somehow he's trapped in a... He's a female trapped in a man's body. That
doesn't happen, right?
No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, I see. And what's your basis for that statement? Do you feel that the researchers into epigenetics have failed in some way? Perhaps they didn't track the growth of the malarian duct remnants in my own body, or they don't understand the basal terminology in the limbic system that has been found in autopsies of persons like me. And I wonder, what is the basis of your criticism of the science?
Okay, this is my basis. I think a person's orientation is what determines the choices that they make. Just take a gang member. I've never seen a gang member that would identify themselves as a transgender. It doesn't exist. And
wouldn't they likely to be beaten if they made such a statement?
No, I'm just saying that the environment that creates gang members, normally it's a harsh environment and it creates gang members. Soft environments tend to create people that are gay, for instance.
Gay comes out of softness. Well, that's interesting. Those sentiments have been expressed before, particularly in Germany in the 1930s. They were very much into harshness and were quite certain that if there were enough harshness in enough childhoods that they could eliminate gayness as well. It was called the Übermensch. And I thank you very much for your comments. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Of course, that is not my position at all. Transgenderism has always exists, and it's a wonderful thing, I think, that some, possibly a majority of us now in the United States, acknowledge that this is simply part of humanity. And I am proud to be who I am. I have a pride that comes from the honest basis of myself, and so I don't apologize for that. And it is laughable to me to think that it comes from softness when I consider how difficult it has been and how many setbacks I have had and the pain that I've gone through to be what I am now, a fully realized transgender woman. Number to call with your comments and questions. I like that call, though, because it does intersect. When you consider, what is your worldview? What do you think is possible? I'm here to say a better world is possible. I'm here to say that sometimes it changes quicker than people can believe. Sometimes the wall comes down. Sometimes the regime changes. And right now I see a great deal of resistance to Trump. Part of that would be the tens of thousands of dollars that came into this radio station, even though people right now are in grieving and are confused and in turmoil over the political situation. We're still standing and will continue to stand. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I was talking about how changing to wind and solar can boost and will boost the economy. I say it will boost the economy because the fact is, despite the efforts by, for example, the Koch brothers, to apply taxes and discourage the production of solar and wind infrastructure, it is now cheaper and projected to be cheaper still. And so large buyers like governments in India and China have been purchasing wind and solar power plants because of the projections that they have made that they will save a great deal of money by putting up wind and solar. And they're not just trying to be nice. They're trying to get ahead, and they're winning in that regard. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And I would say that the corollary with looking calmly and honestly at transgenderism is this is something that also comes out of science and real history and real inquiry. Real inquiry finds that transgender people have always been with us. Real inquiry finds that it is essential to have transgender persons in your society, if for no other reason than because it allows you a safety valve to see just how extreme your gender expressions are getting, and sometimes they can get rather extreme. We are complex primate beings. We are closer to dolphins and closer to bonobos. And we have in common with those species great gender and orientation variants. Not so of the lesser organisms, the simpler organisms, that is. Not so of a spider or of a dog. They have specific orientations. They have specific times in which they are in estrus, and things happen according to their reproduction, and their reproduction has nothing to do with the formations of their brains. They're very simple animals. We are complex. I embrace complexity, And I make no apology for being transgender, and certainly is not due to any weakness on my part. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. We can have a better world. That is what I'm saying to you. I believe it. But it'll be interesting to hear what you have to say about it. And Gary is on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, first of all, in regards to the previous caller, you know, your sexuality, what you believe is your own. That's up to you. I'm not going to interfere with that. I know one thing as a Christian, that Jesus came and died for you and for me, and he loves you as much as he loves me and vice versa. So we'll leave that at that, okay?
Okay, religious opinion, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I would call more of a Christian opinion, because I don't consider myself religious. I consider myself a Christian. There is a difference.
Well, I'm not calling you particularly religious.
Yeah,
I'm saying that Christianity is a religion among religions.
Exactly. So, well, what I want to touch on is this whole solar power thing. You know, Solyndra in California failed after Obama gave them $5 billion, which half of it probably went back to his campaign. And now Solar World in Hillsboro is bankrupt and failing. And so it's been proven that our best energy source is oil. And I think what Trump is doing, and God bless for Trump, I think we should pray for him and pray that he succeeds. But I think oil is the answer, and it's the cheapest form of energy that we've got right now, including coal, including dams that we put up for electricity. It's
oil is heavily subsidized by the U.S. government, and that is why I brought up the purchase of solar and wind plants by the Chinese and Indian governments after they publicly exposed their projections that they would save a great deal of money by doing so.
You know what? Oil is, God put oil in the ground for a purpose, okay? It's for us to extract it.
Can you prove that?
To refine it and to use it for our cars, for our boats, for our trucks.
Well, perhaps you could contact this God for me and tell him that he's made a mistake because the atmosphere is polluted.
No, God doesn't make mistakes.
Oh, I see.
Human beings make mistakes, but God does not make mistakes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you for your opinion. This is KBOO. Where you can express that opinion, but where we will not create religious programming. And KBOO, where I am free to dissent from the largest religion in the world and say that I don't believe in this God at all. And I particularly don't believe that it would do such a heinous thing as to put this foul stuff into the ground so that it could be blown into the atmosphere in order to destroy it. That seems ridiculous. I am encouraged to hear that the radio broadcast is functioning in the way that it should, in that anyone can tune this in and hear my voice, and it's not just leftists like me who are listening to me. The last two callers were far to the right of myself. I, of course, feel that Trump is a buffoon and a demagogue and an extremely dangerous man, a narcissist. I could go on, and I probably will. But I was talking about how we can make money, how we can have a prosperous society or a more prosperous society by going for solar and wind infrastructure. And of course, that, if you listen to my program regularly, you know that I'm saying that in the context of a socialist point of view, that this is a thing that should be used as a wedge for the redistribution of wealth more properly to the people who create it. We have a society in which half of the population is essentially in desperate states, does not have sufficient reserves to make a couple of more months' rent or repair their car or pay for an expensive medical bill. However you want to work the numbers, the facts, the social facts, are that half of the population is desperate, and that is due to the criminal overarching capitalism, the super capitalism the imperial corporate capitalism that we have been brainwashed into agreeing to. And so I try to crack that by saying things like, let's cut the Pentagon in half and let's cut it again. Because the Pentagon is used for bullying the planet. It's not a defense. We don't have a defense budget in the United States. We have a war budget. We have one way to look at it is just to look at drone warfare. A drone is what? An automated, propeller-driven thing that hums out in the sky and intimidates anyone who does not have sufficient cash for an advanced, I suppose you'd need the money for a Russian, advanced anti-aircraft capacity. Those drones cannot escape anti-aircraft rockets. They are for intimidating people who are poor. They are for intimidating what we call the third world, the world that does not have the industrial base, to blast the things out of the sky. Frankly, there were World War II powers that could shoot down those drones. We use them to bully, intimidate, frighten, and blast apart people, and yes, their children, wherever we can get away with it. It's cheap, it's easy, it's horrific, it's cowardly, it's disgusting, it's American. And I'm against it. I'm against the Pentagon. I'm against imperialism. Ask me if I support the troops. The answer is no, I don't support what they're doing. I'll support the troops if they come home and fight on the right side. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187, and Tim is on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Hey, Teresa, first of all, I'm calling to give you support, man. You are your own person, and only you have that right to determine who that person is going to be. I don't believe in no God crap, for one thing. But these couple of these callers you've had just demonstrate to me why people on the left should take up hunting. So they have some weapons. And when the time comes when these nutcases who think God can never be wrong, God made the world just perfect, blah, 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 and they're going to die for that, because are they going to work towards Armageddon because they think their little asses will be saved while the rest of us burn in hell? Well, they're dangerous people. They're potential criminals. I mean, look.
Well, I hear your anger, but that's not where I'm coming from. I really do believe that. And I've seen over and over that people who take such attitudes can be changed over time. You can't intimidate them into changing their minds. You can't just yell loudly at them and expect them to change it. But if you persistently create and promote a culture in which the truth can be seen,
when Pinochet was,
they will change.
And I saw the terror in the people's eyes. And the people told me of their brothers and sisters and neighbors who had disappeared and nothing they could do. They were hopeless.
Well, in a situation like that, of course, you have the moral obligation to.
Hope prevailed, and now it's much better. But at that time, it was terror. I don't want to see that in the United States.
I don't want to see that either. And so that's why I'm glad to have KBOO Portland and to have... The social agreement. We have a social agreement that people are entitled to their opinion. So I'm not going to go after those guys for having that opinion. I'm not going to get out my rifle. Yes, I have one, and I am a good shot.
I guess they're right. You can have your opinion. But when your opinion means everyone else is evil and you got the right to kill them, then self-defense.
Well, I want to say this about conservatism. In the first place, in the United States, conservatism means brainwashed by corporate media, and most especially by hate radio and by Fox News. And so people who are brainwashed by this stuff are trying to make sense of the world, and they're looking for certain things. They're looking, it's often said that a conservative doesn't want to know what the facts are. The conservative wants to know whose side you're on, because basically they've become too frightened to think in terms of facts. They just want to know what side of the fence you're on, or the wall, as it were. So that has to be addressed. I mean, if we want to change people, then we have to bring down the level of fear. And my personal way of doing this is sometimes mocking the fears. I mock people who are afraid of North Korea right now. That's just silly. North Korea can scarcely lift a finger to the United States at this point in history. But also, I want to comfort some people and say, look, we'll be okay if we stick together, if we just decide to act together We can move out of poverty. We can move out of the terror of global climate change. We just have to look at it calmly.
I believe you're right. We do need to work together. And if we want a revolution, a true revolution, we need to be building the foundations of that revolution. Like, how are we going to deliver health care? How are we going to manage the government? How are we going to do blah, 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 right, at the same time?
Right. I'd say if the Trump agenda goes further, it might be time to appeal to Cuba and say, can we borrow some of your doctors and have little demonstration clinics and bring people in and actually fix them for free? Just to shame the
it's just to shame
the insurance corporations.
It's pathetic where, I mean, the potential greatness of this country, and if we were to pursue what we pretended to believe in the beginning, you know, justice, liberty for all, and all that, combined with technological and educational resources. I mean, if we did it the right way, we could be a great country. But now I'm ashamed of my country.
Well, I'm proud of people here in this audience, in the KBOO audience. As I said, I just watched for 2 weeks as we all, with laughter and with love and smiles and with great effort, worked together for 2 weeks and pulled together. I don't remember what the exact amount is. It's just shy of 100,000, I think. A tremendous amount of money. We made it happen.
The
station goes on. Yeah. And the fundraiser is over now. But you can contribute at kboo.fm, and I certainly encourage you or anyone to do so.
Well, I've done that already.
Oh, awesome. I really appreciate that. Right. Well, I'm going to go to the next caller, and thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, life, good life to you, and be free and be safe, Teresa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've talked about various things today, and I've tried to bring these things together. They are connected, and one caller brought it together brilliantly when he brought up my transgenderism in terms of what was possible in a society, and he defined my transgenderism as a matter of weakness. Echoing the idea that comes out of authoritarian societies, for example, Nazi Germany, that difference is weakness and that strength is found in everyone being the same. And Hitler literally genocided gay people, trying to purge the society of all gays. And in that parlance, also lesbians, bi, and people like me, transgender people, a different gender rather than a different orientation. And that idea is very much out there, and Trump has swung to victory on it. One reason why I despise him. But also, 60 million Americans have decided to go with him and throw people of color under the bus because Trump was very, very clear about how he hated anyone who is not white like him. Throw women under the bus because Trump is such a misogynist that he gropes his own daughter on the stage. You can see the YouTube, just look it up, on the stage of the Republican convention. A disgusting man reflecting the disgusting degeneration of thought in middle America. We have to deal with all these people. We have to embrace them as our friends and say, we will help you cure this horrible illness that has infected you between your ears. The number call 503-231-8187, and Chris is on the air.
I'd like just to make a comment about if there is a God, maybe we all are reflections of who that person is, and that if God does make mistakes, perhaps he might have thought again about putting foreskin on his chosen people, and that and that if there was a God, maybe he should have chose multiple religions for people to abide by, and not just one for you to kill other people. And as far as gasoline goes, I've heard that if we included the subsidies for oil and petroleum products and the Defense Department budget, gas would be around $10 a gallon. And to think about potential futures, imagine after September 11th, instead of W hiding and saying we need to go shopping, he enacted a dollar tax on gas back then to initiate a Green New Deal. We wouldn't have any of the issues we'd be having now. So when people talk about how the future's dark and how there's no possibilities out there, you need to be able to give them light as to why there is solutions. We just don't get to hear about them.
I really do believe in the potential. I mean, for me, one of the big eye-openers was going to Philadelphia to see the Democratic Convention. And as I've often said on the air, it was KBOO listeners and some of my Facebook friends who got the money together sent me out there. And what I found, I was expecting a rather violent street scene. I was going to blame the Democrats for it. You know, that was what was in my mind. Instead, I found a vibrant street scene, and it was Bernie supporters who had gotten together in vans, who had pooled their money and had literally come in great streaming caravans from across the country to cram the streets of Philadelphia with their shouting enthusiasm and their smiles and their hugs and their ideas of how we could have a better world and where we could go with socialism. It was just so encouraging. It's out there. This is the time for it. And I didn't realize just how much that was true. There was a socialist convergence there that I hadn't heard of till I got there. It was full to the rafters of a gigantic building. Everyone wanted to talk about how to have a better world. So I don't believe the callers who say, oh, we're all bad people and anything we put together is going to be worse. I would be happy to live under the government, if it has to be that way, actually as an anarcho-socialist, I would say to live under the cultural pressure of persons like the ones I met in Philadelphia who wanted Bernie to win the nomination.
Well, we need for a political revolution is actually to get maybe twice as many people to vote and to actually see a lot of progress out there. And as far as commuting radio goes, there's a lot of nihilism and narcissism and dark views on corporate radio and on corporate media, and also on NPR, where all opinions matter, but there's never a good solution, where community radio, KBOO, and X-Ray, and you guys tell the truth and give people options and give people ideas that aren't allowed to be broadcast.
I agree. And
corporations and the billionaires.
I think we should remember things that have happened also associated with the sort of communities that we have here. For example, yeah. I remember all the kayaks that went out and stopped the boat, the Arctic oil exploration drilling boat.
Yeah.
That was just amazing.
Utah Phillips would talk about the long memory and how these struggles aren't anything new. We've been doing this since they killed Julius Caesar. So keep up the great work, and it's always great hearing you on the radio, and you guys have great community programming.
Thanks for calling in. Well, I agree. I do see the upside of human potential. It's what we encourage. It's what we promote that makes a difference. And so I'm not going to agree. I mean, certainly pessimism and depression and isolation is part of the human condition as well. But this is something that we work against. And it's something that we work very well against in a group where we all decided to make something happen together. And I saw that during the pledge drive. It's such a blast for me to see all this just smiling faces, but it's not just the smiles. It's the look of confidence and the understanding that together we can actually make things happen. It's very encouraging. It's very human. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Zoe's on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to respond to the man a few calls back who was saying God put oil in the ground for a reason. And I'm not a Christian. I'm not part of any religion, and I know this show isn't really about religion, but I think it's really important. I wanted to say I believe in the Creator, in Spirit, in a great mystery, or God. I don't care what word is used. And I just feel it's really important to point out that many people who are religious and do believe in God, and many Christians, would not say God put the oil in the ground, to be used.
Not.
We have to remember to not... People who don't believe in God need to remember that people like that man are he's just one person's view of Christianity, just like the radical Islamics are just one part of the huge Muslim religion. And I just felt like I wanted to call in and give a chime in for all the great Christian people out there and all the people who believe in God who are passionate about all the causes you and KBOO are passionate about. So kudos and thank you for a fine show.
Right on.
That's all. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I think we may have another caller here. I'll just check on that. Joe is on the air.
Yes, sir.
Joe, you're on the air. You're on the air with a woman, Teresa Mitchell.
I apologize.
That's quite
all right. I think the whole deification of Jesus is the greatest marketing ploy ever. And when somebody says that Jesus loves you, it's almost patronizing to me. You know, Jesus died for your sins, not mine. And when people put that Jesus stuff on people, It's almost a control thing.
Yeah, I'd say it's a rather passive aggressive approach. That particular sort of evangelism makes me feel a little queasy. You know, it's like Jesus can deal with his own sins, and I'll deal with mine too. Hey, sounds like we've reached the end of the program. I'm sorry to cut you off, so I need to do my ending spiel. But thanks very much for calling in. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. As I was saying, we had finished the membership drive. And successfully raised many tens of thousands of dollars. I'm very happy about that. And I wanted the opportunity to talk about my issue, transgenderism, and the fact that I see, well, anger and hatred being directed towards people like me as well from the Trump demagogue phenomenon, which we must all, for our own survival, band together and fight. We must fight for a better world, and I can see through KBOO that we actually can do it. And not only that, it's a freaking blast. So you've been listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and via the World Wide Web on KBOO.fm, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
And thank you for listening to the Boo KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 today on Between the Covers, join us for David Naiman talking to Jeff Vandermeer about his new novel, Born, a book that's been called simultaneously harrowing, dark, dangerous, funny, and uplifting from the author of the Southern Reach trilogy. And at 11:30, The Film Show looks at Portland history on film with new projects that explore the history of Vanport and the Portland Rose Festival. That all comes up right after we hear from Chris Andre, hosting Air Cascadia, up next at 10 o'clock with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Don't go away.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 26th through the 29th, at various locations throughout North and Northeast Portland. The second annual Vanport Mosaic Festival will offer an exploration of the history and legacy of Vanport through a series of films and plays, lectures and conversations, and guided tours. Audiences will be invited to reflect upon the journeys of those who lived and died in the city of Vanport. As part of the festival, there will be screenings of a selection of Vanport oral histories. Again, that's the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 26th through the 29th, at various locations throughout North and Northeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.